Welcome everyone, this is Eva Herr and welcome to the Healing of Agape this week. This week we have a woman who literally scratched and clawed her way to the top to bring out the most brilliant information that I've ever read in my life. This is Candace Burt. Welcome, Dr. Candace Burt. How are you?
Hi, Eva. We were just talking about that a year ago you called me and I hung up on you, and I can't believe that, children. It must have been a technical difficulty. So tell me about that. I just hung up on you.
Actually, I called you at home because I had, I'm only going to talk a second about me because I have a million questions to ask you.
Right. Well, I want to learn more about you because the reason I'm doing this interview is you sound like an incredibly fascinating person.
Well, it's different. I can put it that way. My background is in medical malpractice litigation. I'm a paralegal, but I'm an expert witness. I testify about dollars and cents and cases.
Oh, that's very interesting.
So I'm kind of black and white, you know. And in 1995, I had a near-death experience brought about by a really tragic dark night in the soul. And when I woke up, I had amazing medical intuitive abilities, and before I went to sleep that night, had been raised a fundamental Baptist, so I thought that you just died and went to heaven or hell, and that was it. The next day, I understood consciousness of all there is, and I understood that the grid of the body and emotions and how they manifest health, and so I just have a gift, and I believe that what I can do with you in your work, and I believe I know what specific thing causes the neurotransmitters to fire at the moment that they fire. And I think that eventually I could help you determine without a lot of cost the specific neurotransmitter that has to do with the degrees of various emotions. Does that make any sense?
Sounds interesting, and it sounds interesting. I mean, I do believe that people somehow have these near-death experiences and visit another realm and come back with information. I was recently at the University of West Virginia, and I met a guy named Sid Banks and all of his followers. Have you ever heard of him?
Uh-uh.
Weird. Nobody's heard of this guy. Yeah, he was just like a stonemason or something. And then he, up in Canada, and he, he's a Scottish guy. And he, had a near-death experience, and he came back with just this way to be. And it's basically like about letting go of the past, and the past never happened, and living in the present. And, you know, he just has all these distinguished, like, psychologists and psychiatrists and everything from marriage therapy to, personal care of psychotic patients. These people are following him, and it's amazing. It's like a very interesting conference. So it's a little off the topic.
I believe what he says. I believe that we live in a hologram, and if we do, what really happens if we're not really here to begin with?
Right. So your show is called Agape, A-G-A-P-E, right?
Oh, Agape.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Agape is unconditional love for everyone as you want to love yourself.
Right.
As you want to be loved by yourself. And if everybody in the world were to experience agape, we would have immediate peace throughout the world. Not only that, but we'd have immediate help for the world. Because if you have agape, you know, the thing that causes stimulation of neurotransmitters is something that happens to you. A chemical reaction transpires. If you don't have anything to move that chemical reaction, then how could it happen to make you make the bad things happen? How could it get the organs off frequency if you had stayed in a state of bliss all the time?
Where does the word agape come from?
It's a Greek word that just means unconditional love. And if you walked around literally looking at the world as being spiritual beings as opposed to being someone that you don't like, then how could that change your perspective of who they are?
Right. Well, so I see it. This is It's funny, all my neurotransmitters and my peptides and all the, you know, hard science, I've had my personal life and my experiences to where this is what really interests me. You know, I'm coming to how do you do the forgiveness?
Well,
forgiveness of others of your, and yourself to get to the place of unconditional love. And it's, I'm finding it really challenging for me. And it's like I'm climbing a mountain and I'm up there. And it's like the last little piece. And I'm writing another book and I want to impart my wisdom to people. And, you know, it's, so what do you do?
Well, I just wrote a book called Agape, The Intent of the Soul. And I'll send you a copy. But what happened to me was, I had my child kidnapped by my mother. I lost my job. I got pregnant unexpectedly, and my father died all in 6 weeks. And if you don't think that'll put your nose to the pavement. And what eventually happened, and was over a period of about 8 years, this gift grew. And it was the day that I forgave my mother, when I realized that we live in a hologram and that we live multiple lives all at one time. Because it's all about frequency, you know, whatever frequency your soul resonates at and hurts. I believe there's knowledge contained within each frequency, and when as your frequency raises, it's like unlocking a door to a new frequency, and you gain knowledge that's contained within that frequency in time, space, pulse, interval.
Sounds interesting. Different people's souls are vibrating in different...
How else could it be?
Frequencies. And is this your idea? Is this something that other people are saying too?
Well, it's what I channeled, but I've been talking to various physicists around the world now, and it can't be anything but, because everything that is about horizontal and vertical frequency fields.
Right.
So,
that's fascinating. Are people like one frequency? Or are they a chord of many frequencies, like a chord on a piano instead of one note?
It fluctuates based on your ability to remain in the moment. You know, how much do you think about what was, or how much do you think about what might be?
I see. This is while you're alive.
Yeah.
This is not a soul after death. This is...
Right. Well, it remains the same. I believe that when you die, the only thing that happens is the body drops away. You don't change who you are. Because you're an electromagnetic field. How could that change just because it's contained or not contained within a body?
Okay, well, this is very interesting. Now, your show is people, it's on the net? Is that?
Well, it's syndicated and it's streamed.
Uh-huh.
And so people listen to it. We're recording, so we're not live right now, but they listen to it. It airs on Saturday nights at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. And then it's archived, so that's when most of the people listen to it. You know, technology is spoiled the
podcast. Right. Well, it's fascinating. Well, and I don't know why, but I know I wanted to talk to you, and I must get like 100 requests to do interviews.
It was
just like strange that I saw your email, and I just thought that maybe, you know, I'm like into the frequencies and the music right now, because I have a CD that I made. Sort of, I feel like I was almost divinely inspired to make it. Do you know about this?
Yes, I do, and I was going to ask you some questions about that. You know, music is frequency. And if our body resonates at a certain frequency, wouldn't it be only logical if it was off frequency by, say, 2/100ths of a hertz, and you played that frequency that was proper, wouldn't it be logical, like clocks? You know, if you put clocks that have pendulums all in a bunch of them in one room, before long, they'll all be swinging at the same rate.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
So by listening to your music...
Right.
I don't see why it wouldn't restore frequencies that resonate with the notes of that music.
Makes sense. Makes very good sense. It's scientifically right.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about is the brain. Does it think, or is it a binary processor, on or off?
Does it think? Well,
I mean, it doesn't create thought. It processes the thought, right?
Yeah, it's complicated because I feel that, you know, I've written a lot about how the mind, you shouldn't confuse the mind with the brain. How it's not, brain is to, like, kidney is to urine as brain is to mind.
Yes, very good analogy.
No, it's because it's not even that. I mean, I feel like the mind is a property of the whole body because we have nerves all over our body and it's like a, you know, sometimes I think the whole purpose of the brain is to stop information from coming up into the body so that the brain can then kind of make up a story about what's going on so that it can survive. I mean, the brain is all set up just to allow itself to survive. So the whole thinking thing, yeah, we do think, and of course the logic circuits are up in the cortex, not in the kidney, but I feel that, you know, it's so much a property of the whole network, what I've called the psychosomatic network, and all of the nerves throughout the body. But at that binary on and off thing, I didn't really understand. I think you have to explain that.
Well, if you live in the moment, you know, so many people are depressed or sick because of what they're thinking about what happened to them. This person did this to me. This person pulled out in front of me today.
Right.
Or, oh my God, what's going to happen next week if I lose my job and their job's not even
right. Right.
So we're, you know, if they live in the moment, only what is, then the brain's not having to process all that excess stuff. But my point was saying, if it's a processor like a computer, what is it processing? The God force, maybe.
What is it processing? You pose it in a deep way. Well, you know, the classical thing. Well, let's go back. Let's forget. To me, it's like having been a neuroscientist for 20 years and studied the brain and knowing a lot about all the chemistry of it. It doesn't get me to where I want. And all this latest stuff about what lights up when people are praying or meditating, and is it the cingulate gyrus or is it the left frontal pole? And that doesn't really do anything for me. I mean, I want to go back to just what you said. Like, how do we do what you just said? I mean, that the blame game. I mean, people live their whole life, I believe, filtered through their core trauma. Do you believe in the core?
Yes.
Do you believe in the core trauma?
Absolutely. That it keeps them. If you live in the moment, what is it you are doing at this moment? For example, you're on the phone talking to a woman about consciousness and the body and how it works and what makes it sick. So why on earth, in the background of your mind, would you be thinking about the problem that you had with your husband last night?
You know, or this morning.
Or this morning. If you stay in the exact moment and think, only allow those thoughts in your head that are occurring at the very moment, then you can stop the firing of the chemicals that cause depression and sickness that changes the... Do you believe that emotions store in a particular part of your body?
Did they what?
That each emotion stores in a particular part of your body.
Well, it's the Chinese idea, you know, meaning like grief being associated with the large intestine and anger in the liver, that kind of thing.
Well, yeah, I have a little different philosophy. When I do, well, let's get back to facilitating forgiveness. First of all, if you're not really here to begin with, if you live in a hologram, who hurt you? And if you don't believe that you live in a hologram and you look under a microscope and you see individual cells, what holds them together? You know, black matter. Basically, if you get down to the quantum level, there's no electrical wire that tangibly connects the cells. It's just black matter. And if you broke that black matter, if you broke each cell down to basic molecular structure, what would it be? Molecules, hydrogen. And if you looked at that molecule of hydrogen and took the alleged mass, which is, I don't believe it's mass at all, but particles themselves, you know, it would only be 5% of mass of the entire atom. So if one atom is only 5% broken down matter, broken down to its basic structure, what would that make all atoms? So I believe that we're only about 5% physical reality, so who hurt you?
You always hurt yourself, right?
Right. And if you don't want to think the thoughts, what I do is I place a black box in my head. I don't allow any pictures in my head, and I don't allow any words, and I don't even think black box. I think black, because if you think black box, then you're going to think about a black box. And black is not yet unmanifested, because we all know that frequency is colors, like the colors of the rainbow.
Right, which is what we did with the CD.
Right. So if there's no thought, what is it that can stimulate the firing of those transmitters? Nothing. And I also believe, if you'll think about it, when you have an emotion that's negative, if you were to close your eyes and pull up something right now that you could feel, and you brought it up as if it were happening right now, is that, for example, when you were sitting at the university across the table from that man that was giving you so much grief about bringing your word at work out into the light, how mad that made you.
A million years ago.
If you went down to your abdomen about 2 inches above your navel and about 3 inches in, discounting any body fat, you would find a sense of heightened awareness that feels somewhat like it feels when a policeman comes up and turns on the blue light. You know that funny feeling you get?
Like in your solar plexus?
Yes. That's the first feeling that you get of emotion. So I believe that that feeling sends an impulse to the heart, which then sends an impulse to the brain, about 8 milliseconds later maybe, which then starts off the sequence of chemicals being released. So if you can control that sense of heightened awareness, then you can control your emotions.
Okay, that's very interesting.
I've done it hundreds and hundreds of times, and it's every single time it's the same.
That's self-control. That's very interesting. It's, people talk about diaphragmatic breathing. They're very into that, which is sort of the same thing, because then you're kind of, you're focusing your attention in that part of your body. That's very interesting. Thank you. That's very interesting. And well, for me, the forgiveness, I think that's why I made the CD. Because it's called Psychosyn. Can I talk about
it? Of course, and I want you to tell us where we can get one. And
right, great. Well, it's called Psychosomatic Wellness, Healing Your Body-Mind. And I use body-mind as one word because I believe that our thoughts are so intertwined, our mind is so intertwined with our body that it's really one. It's one field, as you explain it. And so the only place you can get the CD is on my website, which is CandicePert.com. And you can spell it any way you want. It'll come up. It's really spelled with an ace, not an ice. CandicePert.com. And what is going on in the CD, what it is I start out and I give, it's got incredible music, but it's a guided meditation followed by another track with affirmations, followed by a track the music, which is the background from guided meditation and from the affirmations. It's just a musical composition. And that is not a trance state that you're allowed to round and dance around, and it kind of reinforces what happened on the two. And the last track is, I really like it, it's called Honor Who You Are. And it's about how, you know, everybody's always trying to themselves and improve themselves, and it's basically about just as you are in this moment. And it's a great little song. I'll wind up singing it. But it's, I mean, for me, I think I did it for myself. And
did it, like, drive you crazy for a time to get produced?
No, I did it all myself. That was part of the fun.
And you wasn't like in your head, you just had to do it, had to do it.
So strong. And that was very karmic, I feel.
I believe that that's how the God consciousness, that's how people hear, that's how I hear. Something drives me crazy in my head, and it's meant to get out there, and it will drive you crazy until you do it.
Well, this is strange. I feel that it was a healing, an intergenerational healing. My father was a musician, and his brother was a musician in New York City, and then he was disappointed and went back to Connecticut, and then I met the brilliant musician Lanny Myers under very bizarre, I mean, talk about supernatural circumstances. I mean, he swears to God, this is like a fairy story, that he was in a library and a book that was shelved wrong fell down and hit him on the head. And the name of the book was My Book, Molecules of Emotion. And he sort of skimmed it and he took it out. He's like, this is funny. The next day, he saw a flyer on the table that had come to his wife, who was a cancer survivor. She is a cancer survivor. She's great. And Marion. And Marion Schiavo. And Marion was invited to go to the Body and Soul Invitational Workshop in Mako Bay. And being featured was Candace Burt and her husband Michael Ruff. So Lanny saw that and he said, whoa. So he came to Mako Bay, and after there we led some meditations with him. Him doing improvisational keyboard in the background, and that was the first time we started to work together. And then I just kept getting to these lectures all over the world, and you know, everybody wants to know, you know, they think I know the answers to everything.
I think you do too. A lot of them anyway.
Well, I know a lot of facts, but you know, I'm just a human being moving along here, but I think I am getting definitely climbing the mountain and working on my own stuff. That's the hardest. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, everything that is happens through synchronicities, and if you start researching, you'll find hundreds of books on synchronicities, and they always happen in threes.
Uh-huh.
First he found your book, it fell on the floor.
Uh-huh.
Then his wife was where she was and found, you know, that issue there with your conference. And then your CD came to me. That's three.
Right.
That's how you came to me. So I was at a used bookstore, and a lady came up and laid a book down beside me written by Bill Moyers, and I'd been channeling this stuff about emotions and neurotransmitters, and I don't even know what neurotransmitters are. And I opened up this book, and there you were, and my mouth hit the floor. And then not too long after that, shortly after that, somebody told me to go see what the bleep, and then there you were.
Right.
And I walked into a metaphysical bookstore where I got my first calling, and there, your book was displayed right when you walked in the door as the book of the week. And I went, oh my God, there she is again. That's three.
That's interesting. And they always say things happen in threes. It's sort of like
I think there's some physics to it.
It could be. There. I have to ask my son. My son, the physicist, my oldest son, he is brilliant in the straight world. He is an electrical engineer, and he's a patent examiner, but he also, you know, he has an appreciation for the spiritual realm. And he actually did, you know, you mentioned that color. People get excited by this, that, you know, color are different frequencies. Pure white light is actually the sum of all the frequencies in the light, the whole rainbow spectrum, and you know, the slowest vibration is red, and the fastest vibration is purple. And what he did is, instead of just saying that what is red and what is, you know, what musical notes correspond to the frequencies. What we're talking about is a harmonic, you know, going all the way down through all of the harmonics, because light is the hertz are very, they're 10 to the 13th, it's, you know, just millions of times faster than the sound that we hear, because the sound frequencies we hear are just a couple of hundred to around 20,000. And so what Evan did, he actually made the accurate calculation, which isn't that easy to do.
Amazing.
You know, we had to use tables and all, because you can't just divide. And so that's one of the things on the CD that Lanny did. He took this, what's the word, of the light into the musical sound, made a scale that was scientifically accurate from red to violet, and that's used on the affirmations track.
Well, that was going to be one of my next questions. So each chakra vibrates at a specific note. You know, the lowest one being C, heart chakra, C being F, I believe. So do you use those very, if you've got it scientifically mastered, that's going to be tremendous.
Right, well, with the preparations, it turns out that people say, it's very interesting, this idea that we vibrate, and it makes sense to me, you know, closer to the earth, and then it's slower at the bottom of your spinal cord, but what he did, well, what he actually found out that it was kind of C by convention because it's easy to have a C major chord, but the truth is if you actually typically accurately transpose the vibrations of colors to the vibrations of music, then red, or the first chakra, if you're into that, is F. And then the next note is G. So it's a different scale, and it sounds a little bit different, and but it's scientifically accurate.
Have you done any research with this? Have you done any testing to see if effects has had on anyone?
I would love to be able to do research on the CD. The first thing I want to do, I mean, the whole intent of the CD was to help people and to have them, to help them heal themselves, because as you say, that's the key. So basically what I did, it's got this booklet with it, which has some lots of scientific images, and it's got some copy, and it's basically a composite of every lecture that I've given over the last few years, and it's a very succinct version so that people can kind of see these images and program their own minds, and then my intent is that as they're lying there listening to the meditation, that they will have scientifically accurate images of cells moving into position, and they will have the background to most of all be inspired to know how we are meant to heal ourselves and how we can flow into a healthy pattern. So that's the intent, and then with the pamphlet and as you say the music, I'm excited. I'd like to do research. I want to do research on. I have to get on an airplane early tomorrow morning and fly out to give a talk to Kaiser Permanente, which is an HMO. And what I would love to do is do a really well-controlled scientific study to see if my CD would actually have an effect in terms of decreasing the number of sick days.
I can tell you right now it will. In fact, I'm going to tell my listeners right now, if you'll send me a copy, we'll play it on the radio in the break spaces.
In the what?
On the radio in our break spaces.
Say, in the book spaces?
The break spaces.
That sounds great.
You know, sometimes when we don't have any show going on, we play music.
Oh, wow.
And we could play your CD and let people hear it.
Okay, well, that would be fabulous. Parts of it. Yeah, that would be...
Yeah, that would be great.
That sounds wonderful.
Well,
I can listen to this... What is this, Saturday night at 7?
I'll send you a link to it. It plays Saturday night at 7 o'clock Eastern Time.
this Saturday night.
I don't know if it'll play this Saturday. I've got to get with my producer and see, tell him when I want what. And I've got
I see. Right, you can choose.
Yeah. But it'll also be archived. 10 days after it airs, it'll be archived so people will be able to listen to it from now on.
Wow, that sounds fantastic. Listen, I'm excited about the CD. I've gotten some great feedback on it, and but again, I think subconsciously I'll do it for myself because there's a forgiveness part of the meditation that, I think it's really profound. And I really believe scientifically that affirmations, just the repetition, the conditioning of your words and your mind, tying it to a state of relaxation and peacefulness, makes it grow.
Well, it helps you to learn to be in the moment, and people say that it takes 60 days to break a learned habit. So by having affirmations, it forces you to be in the moment and teaches you how to do that on a regular basis without having to put forth effort. It's like a job, actually.
Right. So I know forgiving myself and others for errors of the past allows me to heal. That's a biggie in there. And that's, that works for me because it's so tricky. You're not just forgiving others, but you're forgiving yourself. I mean, there's no such thing as anger at others. Everything you feel, it's really, the imago is in your own mind.
Huh? How you perceive it to be in your own mind.
Right.
So, if you can manage to live in the moment and remember that you're not here to begin with, and that your back, if your brain really is a processor, and you're processing God forces, what else would there be to process? And that we all know God's perfect. So that must mean that everything that's happened in your life is perfect for the lessons you're meant to learn.
Right. Well, that's my rational life. I feel I've had a very eventful life so far. And I feel that I'm meant to learn all these lessons because I have to do, I'm called on to do the ultimate forgiveness. It's one thing to forgive, someone who blah, 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 and stole credit for you. That's like child's work. That's nothing. Or forgive, somebody who, betrayed you in a personal realm. But, I've been working on, you may not know this, but my partner, Michael Ruff, and I have been working on an AIDS drug for the last 19 years. And this AIDS drug was started at the National Institutes of Health. And for the very first time in the long history, we are about to get control of the actual invention of the rights, the worldwide exclusive rights to this effective therapy, which we have shown in a number of clinical trials to effectively lower the virus in the blood and in the cells of the blood.
Now, is that something that's going to have to do with drugs?
This is a drug. This is a extremely inexpensive, easily administered drug that's suitable for global use in developing countries. It does not need refrigeration. It's administered as a nasal spray, and it's given to people who already have HIV disease. And then the implications from the invention, we already have the proof of concept that a vaccine, an effective vaccine, will be possible that will actually be a treatment vaccine. And we are envisioning that AIDS will be wiped off the face of the planet. And I'm not talking in many, many years. I think we will be well on the way to this within 5 years.
That's amazing.
Yes, and for us, this has been my life mission. And I think, like you said, everything that's happened to me is perfect, okay? Because I had to train in the little leagues to get in the big leagues, to have that kind of, I'm basically an egomaniac. At least I used to be.
I figured that out. And I see that that's changing.
Yes. Well, I have to really let go of the ego to do this great work in the world, because it's so much bigger than me, or so much bigger than me and Mike and our great love affair of 20 years, you know. He's my husband. As well as my scientific partner.
That is wonderful. I'm jealous. I wish I had that in my life.
But a man or a scientific partner?
Well, I have a husband, but somebody that we have the same goals and dreams and desires. Yeah.
Well,
very
it can be wonderful, but it also can be exhausting and overwhelming because, you know, we work so hard together, and, you know, there's been so many disappointments, and it would be easy to get angry at, and we have, you know, at the unfairness of it all, and, you know, I mean, crazy things happen, like, you know, like the proof of that we figured out which part of the virus binds, and so we made a vaccine out of this part. We made antibodies to this part, and it got tested by the highest muckety muck at the NIH and the people who test it, and they came back and they said, "My God, it just works against every single virus from all over the world. That doesn't make any sense. It seems so non-specific."
So, is it not logical to you why you've been battled?
Say again.
Is it not very logical to you and, like, blatant in your face why they've battled you?
Yeah, well, we said, well, this is what you expect of the perfect vaccine. And in other words, there's like a skepticism. It's so amazing.
It's money, Candace, and pharmaceuticals. I mean, if you have a vaccine that wipes out everything, what would happen to the pharmaceuticals' money?
Well, I don't think that way. Because I have so many former students and friends that are working in pharmaceutical labs, I don't really see them as a big boogeyman. I think that there is a... I mean, you can argue they haven't done as well as they should. You can argue that some terrible drugs have gotten on the market. You can argue that consumers are getting smarter about all the marketing. You know, I mean, there's an article in the Times yesterday that most of the detail people that are coming around, I mean, we all knew they were always handsome and beautiful, but the main place they recruit now is among former cheerleaders. So they have these beautiful cheerleaders because they're enthusiastic and all. But, I mean, I believe that I don't see it as an evil conspiracy. And the way I'm dealing with it is I look within myself and say, gosh, you know, God gave me this amazing invention. There were lots of synchronicities around the invention. And, I mean, the invention itself is a miracle so great that I don't even take credit. I don't say, okay, yeah, I mean, I was a smart scientist that did the right things, but perseverance has been my main thing here, because I knew that it was right from all the synchronicities and from all the data, and we got thwarted in so many places because it was a premature discovery. It was so far ahead of its time, people couldn't believe we in our relatively small lab had figured out the exact part of the virus that binds, when so many other large companies and government collaborations had failed. So there was a lot of resistance. But, you know, we just kept plugging away. And so I just feel I've been groomed for this. You know, I feel like I'm an old soul. I'm starting to go way back. I'm only in this time. But I feel that, you know, forgiveness is the issue. And if I can...
If you hadn't been through all of those things, if everything had come easy, it would have probably been shelved or something and gone away. You had to be made strong to continue to push it out there.
And it's weird, we went through things and it was shelved and put away at once. At one point a major company got a hold of it and did shelf it and put it away. and we battled it back and used activists. And I mean, it's like the story is amazing. And yet I'm never going to dwell on or tell that story. Can you understand that?
Yes.
Because who cares, you know, how much I struggled or what somebody did 14 years ago to get the rights back out. The only thing that's going to matter is the moment when we show this drug makes the viruses go down. And by the way, it's completely... completely non-toxic. That's what.
Well, I was going to ask, what are the side effects, and is it something that could be done? Is it natural?
Well, it is. It's derived natural since it's a peptide. It's called peptide T, and it's a peptide. So it's modeled after the natural substances in our body. And it works on a receptor called CCR5, which is the receptor that the virus uses to enter and infect cells. And the reason it's not toxic is you can actually get along without this receptor. About 2% of Northern Europeans don't have it, and nothing bad happens. And it's been shown in hundreds of man-woman years of clinical testing to be entire without drug-related toxicity.
You won't have to get one of those little flyers that say this will cure AIDS, it'll tear up your intestines or kill your liver.
No, we won't, but you know, there's been some strides made in HIV, you know, there's been some major strides. The main problem with the current drugs is they get, besides some of the toxic side effects that some people can't tolerate, is the resistance, because the virus evolves so quickly, people get resistant to it. But now, since our drug works on killing the cell of the virus, which is the part that binds into the receptor, which kind of has to stay pretty much the same shape, although not the exact sequence. So our drug seems to, in what we've seen so far, in 6 months of testing in people, the drug was still working and the virus levels were still down to undetectable levels in a study that we actually published. If people are interested in this, by the way, they can get further information on the website for the Institute for New Medicine, which is following the HIV peptide T story, and it's the Institute for New Medicine, and it's you can reach it at TINM.org, the Institute for New Medicine.org.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, so you didn't know about that, right?
I just think that's amazing.
Yeah, so I think I'm being groomed. Help me more. I mean, I gotta get along with my husband.
I wish you would call me when we're not on the air and let me read you. Because I'll tell you lots of things. But I don't want to tell all that stuff on the air.
Well, read me. Is that what you say?
Mm-hmm.
And help me.
Mm-hmm.
I will do that.
I mean, it's tremendous. I have people sending me letters from all over the world.
Who wants you to read them and help them?
And if you listen, I mean, if I can forgive my mother for what she did, and then I'll tell you, back in January, I walked out and left my husband because he thinks I'm crazy now that I have this gift, and he's been fighting me on it. But it saves people's lives. Excuse me.
Well, maybe after the call we could do a short one while it's fresh in your mind and all the energy.
And my husband hid my children from me.
Oh, God.
And so that means that's the second time in my life I've had my children hidden. This time when it happened, I went, okay, that's what consciousness has placed before me. And I submit to it and accept it for what it is. And experience the lesson of acceptance, then it'll go away. Because the lesson here is for me to accept being alone. I placed that in the world. I just want to be alone. I want some alone time. I never have any alone time. And I was angry about never having any time. I said, well, I forgot to place out the intent of how long did I want to be alone? And how did I want that aloneness to come? It's, you know, it's all about learning how to perceive and letting it pass through and letting it go. But also, every time you have these negative emotions, you're firing chemicals somewhere and manifesting disease. You know that.
Right.
Better than anybody.
Of course, that's what's the paradox. So it's the ultimate challenge. I mean, I know it, but it's one thing to know it, another thing to live it. I mean, the Dalai Lama spoke at Society for Neuroscience meeting. You know, I've been saying, oh, you know, there are no negative emotions. All emotions are necessary for healing. I've been saying that, but then he just said in lecture, the goal is to get of anger, fear.
Do it in 60 days.
What's that?
You can do it in 60 days. If you do what I tell you to do, in 60 days it'll be gone. But you have to work at it like a job.
I hear you.
But if I can do it, I mean, if you can forgive your own mother for stealing your child for a year, Hillary Clinton actually got my son back for me. He was gone almost a year. And to be violated like that by your own mother.
So Hillary Clinton got your son back?
Mm-hmm.
Were you, is this as a New York senator or as a...
At when Bill was in office, I used to work actively in the Democratic Party, and the judge ordered her to send him back. But then, because it was across state lines, the Family Services Unit said, well, you know where he is. We're busy. We have kids that need us more. And when we get done, we'll get to him. And I was like, no.
Right.
I want him
I can hear in your accent, I was going to say that you're from either Arkansas or, like, someplace near Texas, but you're not from Texas, but...
I'm from Alabama, but I'm married to a South African, so I probably have some combination there.
Well, it's just pure Alabama.
I can't run from it.
Right, right.
But I wanted to ask one other question.
Great.
What... Is there something that you think people can do? So everybody lives in unhappiness in some form or another. What can people do to stimulate a positive chemical firing in their lives? Do you know?
Yes, forgiveness. Do you think I'm going to take this drug or take that drug? Well, I'm finding that those are the ultimate. Those are vibrations. You know, forgiveness vibrations will release just the right combination of substances. You don't even have to know what they are. That's where I'm now. I mean, I'm, you know, the chemistry doesn't do it. I don't think any of the drugs we have begin to, you know, I think they're patches that cover up what's really going on. I think you have to, it's painful, but you got to get to the root of it all.
You're amazing, Candace Pert. That's all I can say about you. Well, it's been about an hour now, so why don't we wind up the show? And you've got books out. You've got Molecules of Emotion. I know you're in Marilyn Schlitt's new book, Consciousness and Healing. You're on What the Bleep.
Right. I'm working on a new book that will be published in November 06. And it'll be published by
me. And what is that about?
It's everything you need to know to feel good and or feel God, depending on how you want to put it. And it's going to be about my adventures since Molecules of Emotion. But now, the CD. The CD. I say buy the CD. I want to share it, particularly with your unusual readers. I want to hear from them. I'm going to get more active on my website.
Well, you're on my website now.
Oh, wow.
We're going to put you on the radio website. And if you'll send me a CD,
you'll send an email of where it should go, and
yes.
I'll have it happen today.
And we'll put you on the radio and let it play in between shows, and people can hear it.
Well, not the whole thing, right?
No, the music part.
The music part. The part where otherwise people will go into it and they'll crash into a tree while they're driving. So you have to make sure they only have the music cut, which is track 4. It's a scientifically induced deep hypnotic.
I think it's wonderful. And if you've got it technically engineered to what your son did to the exact frequency, I cannot imagine that it won't heal people.
No, it really. And the other thing I had this fantasy is my son's email address. Is that strange? I want to. I have several reasons. One is so that he can, when people can directly ask him any of the technical details.
That would be great.
And second is because he's an adorable man that needs to know how people love him.
He's an adorable man that needs so many people love him.
Yeah, he needs to get some, he needs to get some feedback.
Well, we'll do that. Well, how do we contact him?
Women out there. So his email address is evan.pert@uspto.gov, which is the United States Patent and Trade Office.
U.S.?
Yeah, yes, evan.pert@uspto.gov. This is his mother talking. Eligible females of childbearing age. I don't know how old I am, but he's 39.
Okay, so all the attractive, smart, together
nothing.
Women.
But yeah, just attractive and smart. I'm not even sure that matters.
What is attractive? You know, it's in the eyes of the perceiver.
Right. I think it's more someone with, filled with love can make him feel good.
We'll work on that. This is a picture we'll put on our website.
Right, so should I call you back on this number
yes.
a little bit, and you'll give me a personal reading to help me?
Absolutely. Thank you, Candace Gerber, for coming
you.
On this show.
Thank you for everything. This has been a very, it just flew by. I hate it.
Thank you. I hope you'll come back again, especially when your new book comes out.
Yeah. Okay, take care now.
I'll talk to you in a second.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.